Hold one second. The Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing at this time, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe I have a phone call to make, too.
We have a phone call to make, yes, sir.
His wife would like to speak.
Yes, sir, we do, and I have the number, and you have the number, so if you could just put him on this line. Okay, but we'll start back over. Let's see here.
Thank you for calling the Red Rock Correctional Center, owned and operated by Corrections Corporation of America. We are located at 1750 East Erica Road in Eloy, Arizona, 85131. If you know your party's 5-digit extension, you may dial it now.
Hi, this is
Barnhart. Yes, I disconnected with the CO3 who's going to assist us. Can you connect us again and maybe get the direct extension there, please?
Yeah, let me see. It would be Officer Former. It's
520-520
464 3800 extension 21883.
21883. But if you could transfer us this time, and hopefully we won't have to worry you again.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm currently at my desk or on the phone.
Can
we get a message when
we're
back here
at
time of
dinner?
Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message.
We'll go ahead and get the system image. I mean the wife, and then we'll try back.
Okay.
Executive Clemens C. We got disconnected and we was getting ready to do a hearing. Is the gentleman available?
Yep.
Okay, we're ready.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Mr. Reese?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on 1 minute. So, Ms. Masary, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we have you all connected in, so we're going to start the hearing at this time.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Mr. Reese, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. Could you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Yes, Adrian Valentine Ruiz, number 260435.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. You have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. You have the Honorable David Neal, and myself, sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair this morning, sir. I want to also advise you that we do have your wife, Daisy, on the line as well, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sir. Also with us in the room today, although you cannot see us, is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole officer.
Okay.
Sir, prior to this hearing, you received and signed a notification form advises you of this hearing today, sir. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, sir, it advises you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or hire an attorney at your own expense, sir. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
No, I did not.
You representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
Okay, sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you in along with Mr. Osborne, along with Ms. Nazari. And at this time, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so far?
I do.
Ms. Nazari?
Yes.
Are you going to be speaking? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, do you so far?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Mr. Osborne?
I do, sir.
All right, Mr. Reese, your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one of your hearing, sir. You have...
Ma'am, would you put your phone on mute because of the background noise, and we're recording this, please, ma'am.
Okay, I walked out the room. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So, sir, you have two allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you, sir. When I read those allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Okay, do you understand what I'm requesting, Mr. Reese?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the first allegation on your warrant states you in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of morphine on or about June 22nd, 2017, per the TAS DCMS lab report dated June 30th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, sir, the next allegation on your warrant states that you in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 12C, as demonstrated by your using the facility for any reason or AM discharge from the program. Our reporting person to my assigned parole officer on duty by 10 a.m. the next working day. Defendant's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's absconded from supervision. So is that true or false?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, so based on the admission of Mr. Reese, I move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, sir, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two of your hearing, sir, we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two of your hearing, sir, with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to come to you, Mr. Reese, and get information from you. Then we're going to go to your wife and get any additional information that she may want to present to the board at this time, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Reese was released from DOC custody on November 15th of 2016. He was arrested on November 7th of 2017 by the Fugitive Apprehensions Unit on his absconding warrant status and was returned back to our custody that same day with 133 absconded with a community supervision end date of June 26th of 2018. Current conviction, 2011, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. And three counts, and 2011 murder second degree, 7 years, 6 months. He's had one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There's no SCG or gang information noted. He has a moderate disciplinary history with violence, theft, and drugs noted. Other arrests, 2006, assault, AC juvenile probation. 2007, burglary, second degree, AZ juvenile probation. And he has a community risk score of G1V2.
I'm sorry, I'm having a little hard time hearing out everything you're saying. Caught most of it, just the end cut off there on me.
Okay, so Mr. Osborne, could you just repeat the end?
Yes, sir. The end, I'll go over the other arrests were 2006, assault, AZ juvenile probation. 2007, burglary, second degree, AZ juvenile probation. And then he has a community risk score of G1, V2.
Okay, Mr. Reeves, did you get that?
Yes, I'm just not understanding the question.
It wasn't a question. He's just going over some information with us. That was where you had a assault and a burglary when you were a juvenile.
Yes, that's all correct.
Yes, sir. He's just going over some information there. I'm going to go over some information with you, sir, from the warrant that we actually have here. I see that when you were released, you were approved to stay at number one, West Willow Avenue in Phoenix, and then on November 16th of 16, you had established residence there. Then on June 8th of 17, you established residence with the rehab Cooper Springs located at 10550 West McDowell Road in Avondale. Then on June 16th, you established residence at MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue in Phoenix. And then on 627, you left MRC and you never returned back to MRC. So why did you leave MRC?
Honestly, I left MRC because at the time I was really, really stressed out. My wife, she was pregnant at the time, and we were just really doing bad. As at that time, we didn't have no car, we didn't have nowhere to stay. It was just a real hard time, and I felt like she needed me out there to get a job and to start doing better. What I didn't realize at the time was that the best thing for me was to stay in that program instead of putting myself in the situation that I am now. But I take full responsibility for my actions. I have no excuses for what I did. I wasn't myself at that time. Well, regardless of the decision the board comes up with today, I'm focused on bettering myself as a person. I just had my firstborn on Christmas, so it's time for me to man up and to do what I need to do to provide for my family.
Okay, so sir, it appears that you had two or three different jobs while you were out. You worked at Denny's Big Resort, and then you left there and you were working at Zen Landscaping and Pools located at 315 West Elliott Road. Then you last work that I see was at Trinwood. And you quit that job at Trinwood. Did you have any other jobs after that, sir?
Yes, I had a job. It was for IOS. It was a call center job. The reason why I had so many different jobs was because of my location and taking the bus. I was trying to find an easier route on which would be more convenient for me at that time.
Okay. So, sir, I see under the program that you were enrolled in TAS, you had random drug testing that you failed to submit 6 urine samples on January 26th of 17, on March 16th of 17, on April 28th of 17, on May 9th of 17, on May 26th, and on June 6th. You failed to submit a urine sample. You submitted a diluted urine sample on May 2nd. You tested positive on June 16th for morphine as well as on June 22nd, sir. So did you just relapse and start back to doing drugs too?
Yes, the thing was I was doing real good at first. I was working, I was staying busy, and slowly but surely I relapsed and I started going downhill from there. And my parole officer, she came to do a home visit. During the home visit, she did a swab sample on me, and I told her right there and then that it was going to be dirty, I admitted everything to her, and she was like, that's okay. She was like, at least you're telling the truth. Now what we need to focus on is getting you the help that you need. So from there, that's when I went into Copper Springs, and I was doing the steps I needed, but at the same time, I wasn't making the right decisions because there was so much going on in my life, and I was still adapting to being out on the streets in the world. And I have no excuses. It just was a hard time for me at that moment. I wish I would have been a stronger person. I realize my mistakes now, and the only thing I can do now at this point is just learn and grow from it.
Okay, so your PO appeared to have been working with you to get you in a couple of different rehab programs, but you just didn't stick with those programs?
No, I completed the one at Copper Springs. I was taking anger management class. I missed like six classes. That was after I had started messing up. But I was doing good at one point, and then I messed up, and it just went all the way downhill, and I just crashed from there, and I put myself where I'm at now, and now everything's just hitting me. I just made my situation way more worse than what it is. My wife is out there, she's a single mother, and now I have to deal with working on what I need to work on within myself to be there for my child and for my family.
Okay, so I'm gonna see if the board has any additional information for us. Okay, I see the board has no additional information or any questions of you, sir. At this time, I'm going to go to your wife at this time, sir, to see what she'd like to tell the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
Basically, I agree with everything that Adrian is stating, but I also think that if he does his max time, he's not going to be able to get the help that you guys require, such as the counseling, the classes, and the drug screening. I believe if he does his max time and he doesn't have someone to have him do that, I'm afraid he'll fall into the same track. Versus if you guys give him a chance and release him on parole, he's gonna have to go through those requirements. And he learned his time this time around what the consequences are. And I'm sure he's not going to want to repeat the same mistakes, and he's going to actually commit to going to classes, drug testing, whatever other requirements you guys have. But like I said, if you guys don't release him on parole and he does his max time, I'm afraid that he won't have that, and he can still slip into that. I think this time around he knows, he learned from it, and he knows that what you guys require is the best for him. And you guys know exactly what steps and what to do for someone in his situation.
Okay, does the board have any questions? Okay, if you want to just remain on the line, then we're going to go ahead and continue with the hearing at this time, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Mr. Reese, before the board goes into discussion, sir, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Yes, I'd just like to thank everybody at the board for allowing me to speak on my behalf and for even giving me the opportunity to have another chance to do better for myself. And just thank you. That's it.
So, Mr. Reese, let me ask you a question that I'm trying to just understand. So what was it that caused you to relapse, sir? And what would make the difference if you were out again that would prevent you? Is it you, the friends you were hanging around with, something that you were doing? What is it that caused you to relapse? I know you said that there was a lot of stress with your wife and the kids, but that situation is not going to change. So how is it going to make a difference for you to be out at this time, sir?
Well, to answer your first question, exactly, you hit it right on the nose. I started hanging around with old friends. I started getting around the old people that I was around, that I used to hang around with. And I allowed myself to be weak and join in to what they were doing, which was drug activity. And that, I don't blame anybody for that, because I am responsible for my own actions. And to answer your question, the difference from this time is that I have a new, I have a newborn, my firstborn daughter. You know, I know what I need to do to be a better person. I actually try to sign up for some substance abuse classes while I'm in here. However, I don't meet the requirements because I don't have enough time. It's either a 6-month program or a year program, and I just don't meet that criteria. However, the difference for me, what I would do different this time is I got this is the last straw. I hit rock bottom. When I was in Alhambra, I was detoxing from the drugs I was using. I left my wife out there pregnant. It's just, at some point you hit a low point in your life, you realize that it's time for you to make a difference, and it all hit me. It took me to hit rock bottom to realize that. And I apologize to my wife for that. I apologize to my family for that. I have no choice but to be a better person from this point on.
Okay, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir, just reading the notes from June 27th of 2017, it states that after beating the program, he was transported to by ambulance for chest pains and numbness of the arm, and was given the phone number and address to report back ASAP when he was released from the hospital. After that, they didn't hear back from the offender. And then the PO contacted two different sisters, the grandmother or mother, who stated that he did spend the night there on the 29th, but that he left the next day. She doesn't know where he is, so no family members, his two sisters and his grandmother, didn't know where he was at the time. It was gone. They tried to call to get him to come back in and give him a chance to re-enter the program. I just wanted to note that, sir, that three different family members were contacted and had no idea where he was. And he said he was having chest pains and numbness on his way to the hospital. All the medical centers were contacted, and they had no record of the offender in their facilities. I just wanted to note that.
So, Mr. Reese, so did you go to the hospital when you were complaining of chest pain?
Yes. My intention was to never abscond or anything like that. I went to the hospital because I was having chest pain due to working out. They gave me some medicine. They gave me a prescription for inflammation of my level on the left side of my chest. And my intention was to go to the hospital, get treated. They released me. When they released me, I did get in contact with my wife and my sister. I wanted to see them before I returned because I had some time to return back. And from there, when I seen my wife and the situation she was in, I would, like I said, I wasn't myself at that time. I just stayed. I couldn't leave her. I felt like I couldn't leave her at that time. And from there, I made the worst decision at that point. And I just decided not to go back. But like I said, I was on drugs. I was not myself. I have no excuses. It's just learning from my mistake, going further now.
So during the whole time that you was absconding for those 133 days, sir, did you ever think about contacting your PO who had tried to be helpful to you?
Yes, I contacted her the day I knew I wasn't returning, and she was telling me the best thing I can do is to go back, and maybe they'll give me another chance, maybe they won't. She's like, but the best thing I can do for myself is to go back to that program. At that point, in my head, I was, my plan was, okay, I'm not gonna go. This was my plan, even though it was stupid at the time. This was my thought process at that time. It was, my plan is, I'm not gonna go back. I'm gonna scout. We're gonna get jobs. We're gonna work. And then we're gonna save up for a car. We're gonna save up for a spot, for a house. And then once the baby is born and you're situated and you're a little bit more comfortable, then I'll turn myself in and do my time, so I'm not leaving you out here homeless, carless, with the new baby. That was my plan at that time. However, we did get jobs. That's when we started working at the call center. and things were starting to look a little better. However, I was still using drugs at the time. So once I found out she was pregnant, I was just battling trying to get off of the drug, and it had a strong hold on me. And once I hit Alhambra this time, and I was detoxing, that was the worst, one of the worst things I ever had to do in my life, being in that situation. And that was, like I was explaining, that was the lowest point of my life. I hit rock bottom, so I had to make a change in that cell I was in.
Okay. So what were you doing when you came in contact with the police, sir?
I was sleeping. I was at my grandmother's house, and I was sleeping, and I don't know if it was gang task force or who it was, but they came in and they got me.
Okay. All right, so the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, Mr. Reese, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, Howard, to remain silent while the board's in discussion. It may appear as though we're talking to you, but we're only going to be talking amongst this time, okay? We'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. Then we'll get back to you with our decision.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Reese appears that he says that he's hit rock bottom, and he takes responsibility for his actions, that he made some very, very bad decisions by not doing as his PO told him. It's evident that the PO was doing everything that the parole officer could do to work with him at the time that he was out. However, he relapsed and started doing drugs. He has had a couple of jobs, and which he did work, and then he changed. He says the reason that he had the different jobs was that he didn't have transportation, so he was trying to get a job that was closer to him on the bus route that he was actually taken. I think that Mr. Reese is just being honest, at least this is just my opinion, that I think he's being honest at the time, and that he hit rock bottom when this last go round that he was actually in there, and I think he's just given an opportunity to go back and get involved in some rehab classes, that this could be the turning point for him at this time. It's just my opinion, and I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues on this situation.
Mr. Chairman, I believe he's being honest. I don't deny that. But I think that he made a real mistake. I mean, the gentleman was absconded to 133 days. That's, I just can't overlook that as one board member. If he had worked with, and he admits himself that his CO asked him, or his parole officer asked him to turn himself in. It might or might not work for him. He made that conscious decision not to turn himself in. I just, as one board member, just cannot overlook that. And I'm only speaking as one board member.
Yeah, I feel the same. I can't overlook the 133 abscond days.
Well, that is the issue. He did abscond for 133 days, and that is a long period of time. It's, you mean, you're right, the PO gave him every opportunity to work with him, turn himself in, and do what he needed to do, but he got with some friends instead of just being out there on his own. The 133 days does disturb me on the time that he was actually out. I do think, again, like I said, I think he's been very honest. Is it that the programs they have in DOC, he says it's 6 months to a year, they don't have shorter programs, or is it?
It depends on the location and what program he's trying to get into. There are some that are shorter. or self-study. There's AA you can go into any time, AA and NA. So there are things that are available. The 133 days just concerns me mostly because he admits he continued to use drugs
right.
during that time. So.
Ms. Osborne, are you going to say something?
Oh, no, sir. Ms. Rittenhouse is familiar with the programming and what's available, so she's already got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, I do understand 133 days is a long time, and I have to agree, and that he's had the opportunity to do it, but I think that Mr. Reeves is very sincere about his time. He has 6 months left on his community supervision. I think that's still quite a bit of time, but if he takes his time and if he's sincere about what he wants to do, he won't be influenced by his friends out there on the street, but he can get involved in some programs while he's incarcerated to start straightening out his life, come up with a plan so that he can do something more constructive with his life. I just hope that he's sincere about hitting rock bottom and having the desire and ability to turn his life around. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to revoke his community supervision, find that he was delinquent, violating terms and conditions of his supervision, had lapses about the life of a criminal wage or company, that he did abscond for over 100 days, and he did resort back and relapse to using drugs. That's going to be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Reeves?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on June 26th of 2018, sir. I do want to tell you, sir, if you are sincere about hitting rock bottom and turning your life around, you will be less exposed to drugs, at least your friends, while you're incarcerated. This 6 months that you have left, sir, if you would take that time, there are some programs at DOC that you can get involved in, that you can take some time, get involved in some of the rehab programs there at DOC, sir, and then just concentrate on getting a plan together so that when you are released, sir, that you will be a productive citizen, not only for yourself, but for your wife, your child, and your family, that you'll be able to do those things and be constructive when you get out, sir. Please try to stay focused on what your absolute goal is going to be. And we want to wish you the best of luck, sir, we really hope that you are successful, that you become a productive citizen, that you have no more negative contact with law enforcement, and we'll never see you back before this board again. So I want to thank you, sir, for participating in your hearing today. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. And could you put the seal...